Hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Yusuf.
And Genoa. And this is...
In-Flight Entertainment. The Throwback Thursday Edition. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Hope everyone is doing okay on your Thursday. And we are going to break down a classic throwback 80s film that is Trading Places. Starring Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, Jamie Lee Curtis,
and some old guys.
It was the Dukes.
Right. The Dukes are played by Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche. Check out their IMDb pages. Those are some awesome photos there.
Yes. And this movie was released in 1983. Right when Eddie Murphy was just in the stratosphere at this point, coming off of Saturday Night Live. The film's directed by John Landis. John Landis, if you don't know John Landis' work, it is Animal House, which is 78. All-time classic, The Blues Brothers, he did in 1980. American Werewolf in London. He dropped in 81. He did a segment of The Twilight Zone, the movie, 83. He was busy in 1983. He filmed a section for The Twilight Zone in 83, Trading Places in 83, and he dropped the classic video he directed, Thriller, in 1983, the full-length video. And then he did Spies Like Us a couple of years after that. So he's been in the mix. All of the comedies of the 80s that you know and love, he's been a part of it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with going back and watching any of his movies.
Yes, any of them. Oh, and might I add The Three Amigos in 1986? Yeah, he's a national treasure. He's been dropping a lot of gems on us, and we need to appreciate this director. Anyway, so...
Sidebar.
So, Trading Places, what is this movie about?
I mean, the fact that it came out in 83 is sort of perfect, because it is about Wall Street investment bankers, rich people manipulating, taking advantage of poor people, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Classism, you know, it dealt with a lot of interesting themes, you know, for a comedy. It really touched upon a lot of things that's going on in society, you know, like race. Oh, and they touched upon the nature versus nurture concept. Yeah. And that was, but the Dukes had their own kind of sick way of having this experiment of nature versus nurture in the form of Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a second.
Exactly.
But yes, it's a fantastic movie.
Yes. Yeah. Classic.
Sorry.
Yes. I mean, so, if you are the one, well, we know one person haven't seen it, or if you're two or three people on this earth that have not seen Trading Places.
I actually bet a lot of people haven't seen this, because I was sitting with some colleagues and we were going over like our best comedy or favorite comedy movies, and this movie didn't come up, which was really surprising.
Because, like, they did not see it at all?
It was just not even in their top 10 of favorite comedies, and it's a good movie.
It's a classic.
It is a comedy.
It's a classic comedy.
It's like a dark comedy.
I don't know about dark. Really?
We're dealing with drugs and money and prostitutes and race and monkeys.
In a comedic way. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it surprisingly dealt with a lot of societal things that we see now.
That continue to this day.
Yeah, to this day. Exactly.
Yeah. The point of the story is there's these two rich guys, the Dukes, they're brothers, and they've been mentoring Lewis Winthorpe,
played by Dan Aykroyd,
to take over the business, and all of a sudden they encounter Billy Ray Valentine.
And Eddie Murphy character.
When he runs into their country club type place to escape the police.
Police, right. Because something that they thought he was doing but he didn't do.
He was trying to help someone, but it was mistaken as being robbed.
Yeah, actually, yeah. He bumped into Dan Aykroyd coming out of... Aykroyd's coming out of the Duke's building.
The
country club, right. And so... The suitcase dropped. Eddie Murphy picked up the suitcase, like, "Oh, here, here's your suitcase." And of course, they never like, "Oh, I'm being robbed,
white man! Oh my god,
I'm being robbed!" Yeah, and so he goes to jail.
Right.
And then that sparks the conversation between the Duke brothers of the nature versus nurture.
Right. So they have a bet on whether or not they can take this guy who's been living on the streets, this African American dude who has nothing and no education and no family. If they can nurture him to take over,
success,
to be a success, to be basically an investment banker, to take over Winthorpe's position, and then they do the opposite with Dan Aykroyd's character, and that they destroy him by setting him up to show that he's been stealing from the company and doing drugs.
Right.
He gets arrested and so
discredited, right.
And all of his friends blow him off.
Yeah, his dead fiance don't know him anymore. Right. Yeah. It's like, will he go down that road also? You know.
When you take everything away from someone, will they bottom out and also become a street urchin, basically?
Right. Yeah, be the criminal and all that good stuff. Yeah. So that's the premise. And that's where we see all of these tremendously funny actors shine. Like I said, Eddie Murphy was the man around this point, early 80s. So we just seeing Eddie Murphy be Eddie Murphy in every scene, just chewing up the scene with his hilarious banter and dialogue. And then you see Dan Aykroyd, being Dan Aykroyd. You know, he's like, first he's this stuffy, conceited, like
the investment banker.
Yeah.
That
nothing can happen to me because I'm rich.
Yeah,
you know,
everyone caters to me in my world.
Exactly. Yeah, and then his world come crashing down, and the only person that would give him the time of day to even believe his story is this call girl.
She's not a call girl. She's a
prostitute.
Okay.
Right. Serving services up in there. A businesswoman,
damn it. She's a businesswoman. Yeah. Her business is sex, but she's a businesswoman.
Yeah, it's a business. You know, she's hustling. She's hustling. Yeah, my ass hustles.
Right, and that's played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Her name's Ophelia.
Ophelia. Yeah. I definitely appreciate this movie a lot.
Jamie Lee Curtis looks fantastic in this movie. I mean, I watched it this morning, so it's all very top of mind for me.
God bless her.
So I know you are getting more of the culturally things are basically the same, but what I got from this was that as long as you're a con artist, you can be an investment banker.
Yes, exactly.
Also, who the fuck trades in pork bellies?
They do.
I need to go look to see if pork bellies is a thing that you can still trade.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, that's not my wheelhouse.
Right. Shadow doesn't think pork bellies is a thing.
Yeah, no. Shadow don't dig pork.
Pork bellies.
Yeah, and so we see Billy Ray like just ascending up the ladder of success within the Dukes.
Because he's using his street smarts that he's been using to get people to give him money and free things as he's conning people on the street.
Right.
He's now using his street smarts to figure out what's happening in the stock exchange.
Exactly.
On when you should buy and sell based on everyday real world situations.
Right. And so, yes.
So for example, like it's around Christmas and people are stressed. Oh my God, am I going to have enough money to do something?
It's like, I'm not going to be able to give my son the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Right.
You know, my wife ain't going to have sex with me.
Right. So maybe hold on selling.
Right.
Until people get through that, and then you can start buying when the price drops down to 64.
Right. And then...
Of pork bellies.
Hey, sell like one of the deals. Which to me still is one of the best scenes in a film like I have witnessed, as far as displaying a character that just uses their instinctive knowledge of their environment and what they know and applying it, you know, to this foreign concept. Yeah. But it's all relative.
I mean, look, Eddie Murphy's character has EQ, not IQ. And this is a great example of you don't necessarily have to have an IQ to be successful in life. So...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of Stark Brothers in.
To everyone in my life that told me I wasn't smart enough, I have EQ.
That's right, dang it. So, you know, so Billy Ray is our Michael Jordan.
Our mascot. Exactly. Being successful in life.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a lot of scenes, especially that scene. It was just so brilliantly written. And then, like I said, you know, we started seeing Dan Aykroyd's descent into poverty. Good thing Ophelia is around to, you know, lend a hand and
He finally has real support in his life. It's not fake support that he's only experienced through all the
because
money
of his status. Yeah. Right.
Now he has someone that's actually there to support him in all the crap that's going on with him. Because before this happened, Dan Aykroyd's character was engaged to a woman named Penelope.
Yeah.
And when he got arrested, she sort of disappeared. She even disappears from the movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, wait a minute, no, because remember he went back to the country
he
club
went to the
and
country
tried
club
to, like...
And she was already, like, engaged to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, so we see there maybe, like, two more scenes, or one more scene after that.
One more, yeah.
Yeah, so...
And then she disappears. So, funny fact about me, when I first moved to New York, I went out with a guy, he kept calling me Penelope, and I was like, what?
Why?
Because I guess I was uptight.
Yeah, that's
when I was watching the movie today, I sent him a text. I was like, I'm so not a Penelope.
No, you're not.
It was like 20 years ago you were.
Oh, okay, I'm learning a lot of new things around. Yeah, so you have to evolve into this late night.
Well, I had to rebel against my hippie parents by becoming Penelope, and then I had to settle somewhere in the center.
Yeah, so you have to, go
course correct. I went too far.
I can't pitch you as a Penelope. Oh, God. No, I couldn't pitch you as a Penelope.
Yeah. Well,
so can you vouch for that when you, in retrospect, you're like, oh, yeah, man, I think I probably was kind of Penelope-ish with certain things.
Well, I think because I'm an introvert, that I may have come across that way.
Mm.
So.
Gotcha.
But now I just don't care. Just don't.
Now you're just straight Billy Ray at this point. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a karate man. Karate man, please, on the inside. So pretty much with the trajectory
of the two characters,
we see that throughout the movie. We have to highlight Clarence Beeks, who is the person who set all of this in motion with setting Dan Aykroyd up with the theft within the Duke's company and the drugs and all of that stuff to get him
So he's the private security for the Dukes.
Yeah, and he also the person that get the inside trading information He's like, well, I guess what they call deep throat. So he's like the deep throat.
He's the deep throat of the movie.
He's the deep throat of the movie. Exactly. So they figure it out.
Right.
That Beeks is...
Well, Eddie Murphy's character overhears the Dukes talking that they had a bet, and when the Dukes won, that nurture over nature can win out in certain situations.
It's just exactly right. And so Eddie Murphy goes to try to tell Dan Aykroyd this. At this point, Dan Aykroyd is about to commit suicide. Well, it was a failed suicide.
Because
he downed drugs and, you know.
Right. He drank a lot and then took a bottle of drugs and passed out in the bathtub.
He took a big thing of salmon. He was on a bus eating salmon in his Santa Claus outfit.
Right. He crashed a Christmas party. Right. The Duke's Christmas party.
Because he was trying to plant drugs in Billy Ray's office and say, yeah, see, he's the one. You need to hire me back because he's the, you know. So after that, that's when he took the salmon and, you know.
He hit the salmon in his Santa suit and he's on the bus. Pulling his beard apart that's all matted with vomit and booze and dirt.
Salmon.
And he pulls the salmon out from his suit and depression his beard salmon. And starts eating it as everyone's staring at him on the bus. Yeah.
Oh, classic. Depression salmon. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing, y'all. It's a thing. So now Billy Ray got up with Winthorpe to tell him what was happening.
They were manipulated by the Dukes.
Exactly.
And so they hatch a plan to basically do the same. I mean, to fuck over the Dukes.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
To see what would happen if they took away all of the money for the Dukes.
Oh, and actually, when they hatched this plan, Eddie Murphy says one of the best lines in the movie, which was, he says, "It occurs to me that the best way to hurt rich people is by turning them into poor people."
Yes. Yes, that is the best line in the movie.
Yeah. Yes. So off of that, I mean, that kind of lets you know how thoughtful. It's so comedic. I mean, at the surface of this movie is very thoughtful. It really, like, just that funny throwaway line really speaks volumes. that's what I really love about this movie.
The plan is basically to convince the Dukes to buy up all the orange shares, which, I'm sorry, I just did a quick search for pork bellies and oranges, and I can't find anything on the stock exchange either one of those things.
So they stopped the orange?
I guess so. Oh, wait, there's a bunch of things with the name orange in there, but nothing for pork belly.
Right.
Anyway, so they convince the Dukes. They steal a report that's coming out that would say how the orange crops will be doing.
Right.
On whether or not it's going to be a good or a bad year, and whether or not the Dukes should invest in it.
Mm-hmm. Because they have this elaborate Mission Impossible type scheme on a train on New Year's Eve.
Who dresses up in costumes for New Year's Eve? I have totally never seen that.
And I want to be on this train.
Yes.
Yeah.
It had Jim Belushi on it.
Yeah, he was the gorilla.
Yes,
right?
Yeah,
he was a gorilla.
The cameo by Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
So
he was a gorilla. And, you know, and then we had some cosplay going on. We had Jim Lee Curtis as the Swedish. She was the Swedish
backpacker dressed in lederhosen.
And then they're like the butler
dressed as a priest.
Priest, yeah. And then you had Eddie Murphy as the from Cameroon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef jerky type.
And then
Dan Aykroyd
in blackface.
Straight coming in as a Rasta. Man. There's a lot.
So many things that are wrong with the cosplay in that scene.
Okay, but it's so much to love with this, though. It's funny. Someone asked me, like, you didn't get offended at that, like, blackface? Like, any, like, you know, when Dan Aykroyd's coming?
Yeah.
I was like, no. The reason why I was not offended about this because it was so absurd. It encapsulated what this movie was saying from beginning to end. It's like...
Well, so I do have to point out that for anyone that hasn't seen the movie, they use the N-word a lot, all the old white dudes in the movie. Mm-hmm. And every time they talk about Eddie Murphy's character, it is always the N-word.
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. And then you have this, then you have the person coming in as a Rastafarian. Yeah. It's like, yes. Yeah, it's like, all right, he was going down the path, you know, of poverty, and poverty is synonymous with minorities. So yeah, it makes sense that this person
come in.
So I'm like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like, no, that was brilliant, in my opinion. And of course, no one didn't get offended. You ask any black person about that scene, like, oh, that scene was hilarious. I love that scene. They come in like, oh, do you remember me? They do that greeting, put it in. I mean, dude, like, how can you not love that? So that whole mission that they did, that whole elaborate thing. And at the end of the day, Beaks, they took Jim Belushi's gorilla outfit,
right,
put it on Beaks, they duct taped him so he couldn't say anything.
Right, and then locked him up in a cage with a real
gorilla. With a real
gorilla. The real gorilla fell in love
with
Beaks in his gorilla outfit. He gets shipped off to Africa. I feel like that 30 seconds of scenes with him, Beaks and the gorilla, are so inappropriate and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, no, that could not be made now. So then at the end of the day, you know,
they're on the island. Exchange. Well, but you forgot that the Dukes got effed.
Yeah.
So there's a scene where there's a stock exchange, and the Dukes think that they have the correct report, and the orange shares are going to be super high. So
were they buying or were they selling?
They were buying it.
Right. When they should have been selling.
When they should have been selling.
Okay.
Gotcha. And then everyone thinks that Valentine and Winthrop are working for the Dukes.
Right.
So they're buying up on behalf of the Dukes. Mm-hmm. And then when it hits a certain number, they start selling.
Right.
So the Dukes basically end up losing all of their money. I have to say, the only... growing up, this was the only time I really learned anything about the stock exchange was this and Wall Street. And I'm still not really buying and selling. I mean, I get it now because I have accounts. But when I was in 83, shit, when I was 9 years old, I didn't know what the fuck any of that meant. Well. But it's very entertaining to watch the Dukes lose their money. And then... so they lose all their money. They're super poor. And where do we see them next?
In Coming to America, under the bridge. Which bridge? It was under the Brooklyn Bridge?
So they're under one of the bridges, yes. Yeah. So, Coming to America, there's a scene where Eddie Murphy passes
two homeless people.
Yeah.
And I love like how the music kind of just cues up when you see him. It's like, what's this? What were their names? What were their names?
Besides the Dukes?
Yeah, the Dukes.
One second. It was Mortimer.
Yeah, Mortimer, yeah.
Randolph.
Randolph and Mortimer, yeah. He was like, Randolph? Yeah, he gave him like this big nod of money. Oh,
He says something in Coming to America like, oh, we can make our comeback.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
And sidebar... the same director who directed Trading Places directed Coming to America. So it was a cool kind of circle back.
Right. So it's funny because when the train scene started and Eddie Murphy came in his like African outfit, I was like, oh my God, this is the beginning of Coming to America here. Oh,
that's so awesome. Yeah, and it's funny, like Eddie Murphy gives them money to start back,
right.
Even though he was the one that
technically took
all their money. Oh man, I just love stuff like that. Like the whole referencing and that was hilarious. Yeah. Yes.
Lots of inside jokes and all
lots of inside jokes, yes. And I'm so glad they did that. It was funny when I watched Coming to my father took me to see Coming to America when it came out that first weekend. And that scene, I remember it was a full house. And that scene when
Mortimer
kind of like put it there. He was doing this, and you hear like kind of the music from Trevor's. Yeah. Everybody just started rolling. And it wasn't until I watched Trading Places, right. I was like, I get it. Oh, that's brilliant. That's so brilliant. And it was a lot of scenes in Trading Places that showed kind of the duality of the nature versus nurture. Just like with Valentine, right? You know, he came out, he had his limo, he went to the bar, he's like, bad Shakespearean body. And the same people we seen in the jail. It's like, yeah, wasn't you that sucker that I was saying if you had limousine? It's like, well, I happen to have my limousine outside, you know. Right. And then he's like, oh, everybody come to my house for the after party. You know, he just wanted to.
And then
just,
when they start destroying the house, he's like, wait, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's like, who putting out their cools on my floor?
Right.
Yeah. So then it's like, now he's starting to value what he have. You know, now right. He's like, okay, well, this is mine. I want my stuff trashed. So now he's just starting to see his transition a little bit. And it's, oh, yeah, I got money, I just blow it. But it's like, okay, well, I got stuff worth value, so I need to, you know, really, like, not have it destroyed.
Right, which is funny because maybe within the same day, like, basically right after he gets his makeover,
right.
He breaks a vase.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is fake, and he breaks it. And they're like, oh, well. They talk about how he actually just made them money.
Yeah.
Gets an insurance claim and everything. But then, after he goes and sees all of his friends and brings them back to the house, and all of a sudden he's concerned about breaking,
burning
things.
Oh, right. Know? So yeah. It's just like...
So it's a very quick transition from not giving a F to...
So, like, wait a minute. Like, all right, y'all. Like, y'all trashing my stuff. Like,
these are nice things. Let's not mess them up.
Yeah. They told me to kick everybody out. I was like, yeah, don't be too loud. I have neighbors. They work, too. Pieces of dialogue here and there like that.
I feel like it's a movie you can watch over and over and over and find new things each time you watch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Then follow it up with watching Coming to America.
Yeah, that's a must. Now I'm kind of like sad because they're gonna do another Coming to America. I don't know how.
Wait, they are?
Yeah, they are.
What?
Yeah, it's official. Yeah, it's official.
How do you improve on that? That makes me sad too.
Yeah, I mean that's talk about pressure. Like,
is it because Eddie Murphy needs money or something?
I mean,
is he going to be in it?
Yeah, he's in it. Mm-hmm. I think, of course, Arsenio was like, I ain't doing nothing, I'm in. and I just want to know if Lisa have to come back. If Lisa don't come back, then I don't know.
Is this like a remake or a sequel?
It's a sequel.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like...
So is it
X amount of years
so
after?
It's like their kids. It's like Boomerang, the TV show where it's the kids to the original.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So I don't know how they're gonna work that out.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah, of course James Earl. Well, James Earl, he's around, so I'm sure they'd do a couple of scenes with him. You know.
Oh, it comes out in 2020, and it's coming to instead of TO the number 2 to America.
What?
So the original Coming to America was T.O. And now this is Coming the number 2, America.
Wow.
And the only cast they have right now is Eddie Murphy and James Earl Jones. So I'm imagining that the story is Eddie Murphy had kids, and they're very James Earl Jones, and Eddie Murphy are disappointed in the children and not living up to...
Yeah, so it got to be a reason for them to go to America, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because they can't be in Zamunda, like, all through the movie.
Did they go to Wakanda?
You know what? I said, this is my pitch. My pitch was... Okay, if this was in the Marvel Universe. My pitch was... Akeem and Lisa's kids are working at Stark Tower. Right? They're at Stark Tower. And something happens in New York, and you know T'Challa goes to Zamunda. It was like, "Hey, your kids are in Stark Tower. why don't you come with me? Let's get your kids out of here because an invasion might happen, right?
So you're combining the Black Panther universe with
So I think Zamun is maybe a couple of like cities over from, you know, and then like Dormilaje is like, oh, we need to get on a ship and go.
We can just write this fiction story.
Yeah, and then, you know, Akeem's like, see me, we gotta go get my kids, you know, so they go. And maybe there's like some kind of infiltration within the McDowell's fast food chain, right? That's sparking something that's communicating with alien invaders. So that we can bring the McDowell's element back in there, right? Okay, now I'm not going to give this away. I don't have to charge.
You're missing some Men in Black stuff in there also.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, they do have a New York branch. But yeah, I'm not... Okay, that's all I'm giving y'all. I don't have to charge y'all for the rest of the story. Sorry. But yeah, that could be a good Coming to America movie.
Yusuf will write some fan fiction. He'll put it on his website.
So we're gonna put a poll up. It's like... Do you think our version of the sequel is better, or what's going to come out better? You guys be the judge.
Someone remind us to do that.
Yeah. We're going to do a poll. Who wore it better? Us or them. But yeah, so I...
I mean, this is a classic movie, so it's obviously smooth.
Smooth.
Smooth like, flight.
Smooth.
Watch it at home. Download it.
Yes.
This is also on Amazon Prime for $2.99 or $3.99 if you want it in HD. I'm just selling Amazon Prime here.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. Amazon. Who's the CEO? What's his name?
Bezos.
Yeah. We're more than happy to pimp some stuff out for you.
They don't need us pimping shit.
Just give us a little taste of the pie. That's all we want. But yeah, smooth flight, smooth everything. This movie is a classic. You need to watch this film. Actually, it should be required watching. Even in like economics, right? If you take economics class,
or social studies, or psychology.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, like was it urban anthropology, whatever. Yeah. Like this movie touches on all of that.
Strategic communication has some nice ways of learning how to manipulate people to do your bidding.
Pretty much.
Also known as bullshitting.
Yep.
Which Eddie Murphy's character is very good at. That's the EQ.
Goes back to the EQ. Yes. I always go back to the EQ. Yeah, so definitely Trading Places, throwback, also like one of the best throwback 80s films. And like I said, this is in the... This is in like the frame of Eddie Murphy's just doing
when he was at the height of his.
Yeah, he was just like 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop. He was just like bam, bam, bam. Yeah. He was just rocking them.
Well, and also this movie doesn't feel like it was filmed in 83. It does feel like you said, it could have been done last year, last month, last week.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, except for the fashions, but yes. and some of that.
And the blackface.
And they're using the N-word.
Well, I mean, that's... Okay. I mean, that's like the realest, right? Like, of course I see rich white men dropping the N-bomb amongst each other in country clubs. You kidding me? Of course.
As someone that has not been in a country club with old white men, I wouldn't know. But yes, I can.
I'm just gonna.
As long as there's not anyone of color around them, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why they say it, because no one around them
with the colors around. We're going to get in trouble with our old white male audience
members. Only the ones that actually say it. Mm. All right. Like, if this is not you, then you shouldn't be offended, right?
Agreed.
Exactly. So if it's you... And you're offended, stop listening to our podcast because you're racist. anyway.
Or maybe stop being racist.
Yeah, and still listen to us. but yeah, cool. So Trading Places, yes, and yes. That's all I get.
So you can find us on Facebook, obviously. But also, more importantly, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, download us, subscribe, rate us, talk to us.
Yeah, we love the feedback. Let us know, you know, what you guys dig, what you don't dig, you know, and we'll work accordingly from there.
And let us know what other movies you would like us to review, and happy to review them.
Exactly. Yep. So I hope you guys enjoyed our Throwback Thursday film. Definitely watch it again if you haven't seen it. See it. And yeah, so enjoy the weekend, and as always, safe travels and
peace.